Morning. Again, it's not as though I haven't seen you yet this morning. It's really apparent how blessed we are to have men who normally lead the singing, do the Sunday school lessons, able to participate, and I'm sure you see the advantage of that. Happened to look at my mug so much this morning. So I really do want to mention Wednesday night. We've got this shotgun preaching coming up, and that's kind of where the genesis of this often starts, is with these young men who will get up and participate in this shotgun preaching. What they do is they give them a text, and they get up and they preach about six or seven minutes, and they got a little timer, and when you're done, you're done. I know you guys wish you had one of those. But it gets them up and gets them going, and that's what produces teachers. Now, we've been talking about, God's people, God's place, and God's providence, all the way from Genesis, and now we've moved into where Jesus had said that the kingdom of God is at hand. So, the kingdom of God is going to be revealed. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. We kind of used this this last week. We'll get started here again. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and we'll be reading 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. In other words, the good news of the kingdom of God, saying, the time has been fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the good news. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, Father, I am thankful for the kingdom. I am thankful, God, for the care, for the preparation, Father, for the detail that you spent in bringing forth so that we might know and recognize the kingdom. God, again, I am grateful and thankful to be alive at such a time as this. And who knows, for each one of us, as we see in Esther's case, Father, that we can impact not only our surroundings, but world history. Father, by sometimes standing where we need to stand. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Only dead fish go with the flow. Live fish swim around and even delight in swimming against the current. Now, just to review a little bit, God's people, God's place, God's providence on the side there. Adam and Eve, the fall, Abraham's descendants, Israelites being the children of God. You see, the remnant of Israel, you see, God was going to include the nations after the Babylonians and the Assyrians, new temple, new creation, because now, this prophesied kingdom, is present. See, That's what we're working on now. The present kingdom. The kingdom that had been prophesied. Notice what Jesus said there in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. And Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And here's what he said. He said, the time has been fulfilled. All that preparation from Adam and Eve to be able to restore people to a relationship, to God's people, God's place and God's providence, right now is the time when that's going to happen. Last week, we looked at John chapter 1 in the first five verses. Now, we're not gonna necessarily read all of those, but we understand, that the kingdom had come and that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So how are we going to know? How are you going to answer that? Remember that question last week, see, when Jesus came and said that. Imagine that you're one that Jesus spoke to, and there's somebody sitting beside you and said, when Jesus said this about again, what's he talking about? How are you going to explain that? We're going to explain that because, it's Christ logical. See, the Old Testament is Christ logical. It all points to Jesus. And the kingdom, Jesus said, his kingdom is not of this world. So don't get confused with land masses and the end of time and his kingdom, see, is present. His kingdom is not of this world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, there's the kingdom. The people? Who are the people? Well, Jesus was pretty clear about who the people was. John chapter 3 and verse 16. We looked at that last week. John chapter 3 and verse 16. You know this. I mean, people hold it up at football games, and not as much as they used to. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, some of your translations are going to say, shall not perish. Well, you shall not perish depending upon what you do with that. You shouldn't perish because God has given us the plan. See, He's given us the criteria to be citizens of the kingdom. Well, how do you identify a citizen? And what do the borders look like? I mean, without sovereignty, there cannot be a nation. So there has to be some sovereignty in order for there to be a kingdom. So what are the parameters? What are the sovereignty of God's kingdom? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26. Galatians 3:26, writing to the church, to the kingdom at Galatia, Paul says, for all of you are our sons, Galatians 3:26, sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So I gotta buy into, see, God's word, this plan, you see, this plan that's laid out through the ages of God's people, God's place, under God's providence. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. All the images in the Old Testament, the priestly garments that they put on. See, we are a royal priesthood. We put on the priestly garments of the blood of Christ. And where that happens at is the consecration, see, buried with Him in baptism, just like the consecration that we looked at of the high priest in the Sunday school time. See, that consecration is the beginning of the priesthood, not the end. And sometimes people get the idea, well, I've been baptized. You know what? Nadab and Abihu went through some sort of coronation. They went through some sort of setting apart. But their disobedience then disqualified them. As a matter of fact, God destroyed them on the spot for offering strange fire. So, you know, I run into these guys. Well, you know, I've been baptized. Well, you know. That's not the point, see? That's the coronation, that's the time, that's the place where our citizenship, where our passport gets stamped, where our citizenship papers are issued, but then we have to be responsible citizens. Well, where? God's people, God's place. Where's that functionality supposed to take place? Well, in the Old Testament, we know, as we've been through that, it took place in the temple. Yeah, people came to the temple, and the people worshipped, and the priests served. So, people, once a year on the Day of Atonement, come to the temple, and they come to worship. The priests serve, you know, daily in those duties. So this is the mindset when Jesus begins to tell everybody that the kingdom of God is here. Now, all this has been set up so that they get a picture of what this is supposed to look like. So God has given these pictures, see, this rolling picture of what this is what this is going to look like. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 47. I'll give you a minute to get there. It's right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm not even sure where I'm supposed to be in my clicker now. God's place. Yeah. Ezekiel 47 and the first 8 verses. Let this picture start to develop in your head here. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. He brought me back to the door of the temple. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced the east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and water came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I couldn't cross. The water was too deep. The water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region that goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. Be a great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, be healed. Everything will live wherever the river goes. Now, keep your finger there so you know where to go again. And Ezekiel, way before the kingdom is at hand. Let's go to Revelation after the kingdom is at hand. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Now, stay with me here and watch this. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. So, you see the Old Testament shadow. You're seeing now the revelation in apocalyptic language. And sandwiched in between there is going to be the reality of the situation. Our present reality. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and each tree yielding its fruit every month. For the leaves of that tree were the healing of the nations. There will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There will be no night there. They don't need no lamp or light for the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 7. You see, when Jesus says the kingdom of God is here, what these people are understanding. Well, we need to understand the significance of the kingdom so that we don't take it for granted. So that the Lord's Supper doesn't become something that is, well, if I can make it or not. Look, Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verses 37 and 38, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus didn't need Matthew Henry to put this together for him. He didn't need a commentator to put it together for him. Because he knew the Scriptures. He knew what he was communicating. From the foundation of the world, this has been the plan. God's people in God's place, under God's providence. And then he even says, look, verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the mystery." It is the point. It is the culmination of what we receive so that we might be God's people and God might have His providence, not in the land of Canaan, not in a land mass. Look, the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to God. That doesn't mean that the cattle in Palestine don't. It means that they all belong. Everything belongs to God. And now He has providence, a kingdom exclusively in those in which His Holy Spirit dwells. Those who have been immersed for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if that coronation, if that citizenship has not happened, you are welcome to come visit our country, but you can't have citizenship. That's not my call, and I cannot give an executive order to the contrary. To the contrary. Whew, that was close. I was glad I was over here so you guys didn't see that. My teeth about came out. Start talking about them executive orders, I get up, my blood pressure starts going up and stuff. First Corinthians chapter 6. Shut up. First Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning of verse 19. I just been flapping them too much this morning, leading, singing, teaching, Sunday school. I mean, you know, it's no wonder they're loosened up. First Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And again, I go back to this. Where did the presence of God dwell in the Old Testament? He dwelled, His presence was in the Holy of Holies in the temple. So if His Spirit now dwells in our bodies, where is the Holy of Holies? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's what makes us citizens. That's what makes God have a providence to rule over. Every man owns a slave. And that slave is his own body. Now, some of us, me, have some rebellious slaves. They want to sleep too much. They want to eat too much. They want to watch too much TV. They want to recreate instead of procreate. I know some of you woke up at that. Procreate? Oh, I'm all for that. Well, we're supposed to go and multiply, make disciples. That's what the kingdom is about, is to bring people into the kingdom. By adoption as sons through Christ Jesus. So, Jesus said, go and procreate in the same way that God said, go, you know, to Adam and Eve, go and multiply. Because it's all about God's people in God's place under God's providence. That theme keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To them, God willed to make known. That means He wants us to be. You're not hiding. You're not playing hide and seek here. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. This is a mystery. All that time that God's prepping the human race to be able to get their minds around this. But he's thrilled now to reveal this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's God's place. Kingdom has a people. Kingdom has a place. I'm caught up on my slides here. And the kingdom has a providence. God's rule. The new covenant. Jesus is the new king. You know, what are you going to say to that person, that imaginary person who's going to ask you what's Jesus talking about? Well, you're going to go back and you're going to prove that Jesus is the son of David, the son of God, by the genealogies. Real quick, before Luke chapter 4, look how Jesus introduces the kingdom. Luke chapter 4. I don't know, this stuff really does loosen my teeth, you know? I get excited about this. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. See, he uses the Old Testament. He comes to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the seventh day, and he stood up to read. He's handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book, found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind, and to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the Mike Harbor liberal version says, and you could hear a pin drop. Because they know what he said. And you can't know what he said if you don't know what the rest of the book says. Providence. That's how he chooses to announce it. How are we going to announce it? Well, we're going to announce that the Bible is the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus said, "Don't think that I've come to destroy the law. I haven't come to destroy the law. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it." He didn't do away with the old covenant. He fulfilled the old covenant. It is a covenant. A covenant to be fulfilled. If he could do away with that covenant, then he could just simply do away with this covenant. Well, the reason I know he's not going to do away with this covenant is because he didn't do away with the first covenant. He fulfilled the first covenant, and now he has an obligation to fulfill this covenant, and Jesus is coming back again to receive his kingdom unto himself. There was nothing wrong with the old covenant. It wasn't just set aside. You hear people say some of the most ignorant religious stuff. God didn't set it aside. Look, if he could set that covenant aside, then what covenant could we not set aside? We just, oh, it's a covenant. Well, I'm going to set it aside. A guy went to a fortune teller, asked her if she could remove a curse. And she said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "How long have you had the curse?" He said, "Well," he said, "about 30 years. She said, "Well, what was the curse?" He said, "The guy said, I now pronounce you man and wife." And I only tell that because it's so untrue. But if God could set aside a covenant, then why couldn't man just go ahead and set? God doesn't set aside covenants. He fulfills covenants. So let's be sure when we make the proclamation that we are a New Testament church, that we are a New Testament church, not because the Old Testament has been set aside, but because the Old Testament has been fulfilled. It do make a difference. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anybody ever heard of these books? God has something to do with the way this is laid out so that we can think about it, see? Matthew says Jesus is the Christ of the Old Testament Scriptures, writing it primarily to a Jewish audience who are familiar with the Old Testament Scriptures. Mark portrays Jesus as the suffering servant. Luke, the doctor, Jesus is the Savior of the world. And John, Jesus is the Son of God who gives eternal life. This is the message. That God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. But will you choose to be enlightened? Our enlightenment is going to have something to do with asking, seeking, and knocking. It's called free will. God will allow us to go through life with our eyes closed. But praise be to God, He will also allow us to open up His Word, to ask and seek and knock. And man, He is standing there more than ready, cheering us on, and wants to have from the foundation of the world a people, a place, and a providence. The question is not with God. The question is, will you participate? There is no security. There is no rest. There is no consolation as having no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He ain't kidding. He ain't kidding that we're going to have to wait for this pie in the sky. You come and be a part of that kingdom now. And if you haven't been enjoying your citizenship, then get back into the Constitution, the Word of God, and not realizing just your responsibility, but the tremendous promises of the covenant that God has coveted, covenant with the church to deliver. And He will deliver. And don't be moved. Stand and sing. Number one, I shall not be moved. Let's stand. You need to get it right with God. Then,